just address by way of Hakdama, even though you have perhaps a sheet in front of you, but the Parsha Mishpatim, and without the sheet first, the Parsha Mishpatim offhand is very difficult to understand, namely its positioning. Where is Mishpatim found? I assume you're aware that the previous Parsha is
Yisrael.
And the Parsha afterwards is
Truma.
Truma, obviously, as you know, talks about the Mishkan. There are two Parshas that the Torah focuses on. The Mishkan, one is Truma, and Tetzav is the Parsha that talks about the Big Day Kahuna. So here we have two Parshas that are related to the Mishkan and Big Day Kahuna, Truma, Tetzav. And the Parsha before Yisrael, of course, deals with Matan Torah. So now what's amazing is the following. At the end of Parshas Yisrael, I don't know if you recall, maybe you do recall, but you don't recall, I'll just mention the end of Parshas Yisrael. There the Torah tells us the following. It mentions the following. Mizbach Adoma Tasalit. It tells us about the mitzvah of making a Mizbeach. I'm not getting now into the particulars of the Mizbeach, but the Torah has some details regarding Mizbeach at the end of Parshas Yisrael. Now Mizbeach is one of the kelim that refer to what institution? The Mishkan. So where does that Parsha really belong? In Truma. Or belongs in the Parshas that deal with the Mishkan. So that's a bit surprising that at the end of Parshas Yisrael we have a discussion about the Mizbeach, and the Torah tells us, Lo Sala B'malos HaMizbechi, you have to have a certain kind of modesty when it comes to the Mizbeach, and the other halachas that also derive from the end of Parshas Yisrael. But that seems to be somewhat difficult because the proper positioning of that Parsha should be in the Parsha that talks about Truma, that deals with Binyan HaMishkan, Vasul Limigdash, Roshachani B'Sachem. That's question number one. Question number two was alluded to over here. There is a famous machlokes, actually. The Gemara has increased us in Daptes. The Gemara has a famous machlokes. Rashi refers to this at the end of Parsha Mishpatim. And the Ramban has all arichus at the end of Parsha Mishpatim on the question of, and after the entire discussion the Torah has regarding Mishpatim, the Torah then ends up Mishpatim with the bris that Klal Yisrael has with Hashem, a very striking bris, a very important bris, and it seems to be connected to Har Sinai, and it will seem offhand that it is also positioned inappropriately. Where should it belong? Yes. That belongs in Yisrael. Yisrael deals with Maimon Har Sinai. What's that doing at the end of Parsha Mishpatim? So this is the subject of Machlokes in the Mechilta, Machlokes Tanoim, Machlokes Rashi. I'm not going to go into that. I'm just simply indicating to you that in order to understand what's happening, and in order to recognize the value of Mishpatim, we have to just know a little bit about Mishpatim, which I'm going to talk about today. There's a big Machlokes of Rishonim. I imagine you probably are aware of this Machlokes because it already occurred earlier. And the Ramban refers to it in Pashas in the context of the story that happened in Shrem, which is in which Pasha? Shrem, when Reuven and Shimon went ahead and decided to slaughter the entire city of Shrem, which Pasha was that family? Yishlach, correct? So this is a famous Ramban. Ramban there, at great length, discusses the Shem of Mitzvah Noach. I don't know if you know the Rashi Tamers of the Shem of Mitzvah Noach. I'm sure you do. You're my Rebbe, so therefore you have to know all these matters. It's supposed to be from Aleph to Zion. That's the mnemonic device that somehow we're able to remember it. Aleph is Eivim Menachai. Let's continue. Beis is Birkas Hashem. We're doing well. Gimel is Gilei Arayis. What are the others? Anybody know? Dalet, Hei, Bav, and Zion. What? Dinim. Excellent. So that's what I'm going to talk about right now. Beautiful. Dinim, there's a machlokes, the Rambam, the Ramban, what Dinim refers to. The very famous machlokes. Offhand, when we speak about Dinim, what are we talking about? So generally we assume that Dinim, the Rambam writes, the Melachim, that means there's an obligation to set up Batei Din. To set up what? Courts. Courts. As you know, last week's Parsha Yisrael talks about Moshe Rabbeinu in discussion and dialogue with his father-in-law. And his father-in-law indicates to Moshe Rabbeinu that there's a need to set up Batei Dinim. Why should you be saddled with the entire apparatus of judging Klal Yisrael and Aboka at Erev? As a matter of fact, this was spoken about by one of the outstanding Rambam and Al Yeshiva last Tuesday, Chesky Glatchel. Beautiful shmooze. And I actually, because of that shmooze, I told him that I heard many years ago from the Rav Zatzal, the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, on this topic. And I told him I'm going to try to find notes that I have on that topic. So I actually spent many hours over the weekend looking for those notes. And I gave him three sets of shiurim that the Rav gave. One was a set of notes that I heard in 1973 that dealt with the issue, much greater length than Rabbi Glad. He only had a short period of time to speak. And then the second shiur that I saw in the sefer called Darash Darashesek also dealt with the issue. And then the third shiur that I found, also the reflections of the Rav, that also dealt with the same idea. And I presented to him. He was actually shocked. My wife was very happy. I finally unpacked five boxes. I have boxes and boxes since I moved to Rabbi Cherish. I have not unpacked. And this gave me a reason to unpack those boxes. Of course, I didn't know where they were, these notes in which boxes. Of course, I'm not as yucky-like as you in terms of being orderly, systematized. I'm sure you're totally computerized, I imagine. Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? Are you not? You're not computerized? Everything in your life is, I'm sure, in order? Okay, so I'm not far from you. So my wife thought it was great. So what caused me to go and unpack those boxes? Well, like, lot. So I mock your totem. It's like the Beis HaLevi. See, but Masevi, cause and effect. Okay, you probably didn't you come to the course of the Beis HaLevi?
No.
In Pasha Mikates. Take a look at the Beis HaLevi. Mikates, a very famous Beis HaLevi. Okay, all that was like a slide, just to entertain you. Anyway, so the Rambam says that what's the mitzvah of dinim? To set up a system of judges and justices and a court system. That's what the Rambam says for Bnei Noach. That's the Dalit, dinim. But the Rambam says no. Rambam says Mishpatim is the entire Ma'arechet of Mishpatim that we have, namely Dine Gzela, Dine Einor, Dine Shomrim, all the Hoshe Mishpat. Are you familiar with Hoshe Mishpat? Which Masechtas have you learned that have to do with Hoshe Mishpat? I'm sure you've learned at least one or two. Can't imagine. What Masechtas have you learned in your lifetime besides Befon HaNichle, Befon HaNechta, Labgitin? Which one?
Brachas.
That's beautiful. The Daf Yomi is now learning Brachas. That's what I heard. Shamati. And what else besides Brachas? What else Masechtas? Anything in the Babas? Baba Kama, Baba Tia, Baba Basa, have you encountered those receptors?
No, I can't say.
Okay, good. You said it. That's you're an honest fellow. That's great. So that's what we're talking about. Nezikin. You ever heard of Nezikin? Nezikin deal with damages and all types of damage. That's the three Babas. Baba Kama, Baba Tia, Baba Basa. Very beautiful receptors. As a matter of fact, so that's what the Ramban claims is dinim. That even Bnei Noach are obligated to follow those dinim. Ogzela and Einor and Shemrim. All the dinim that we have, they're also obligated to follow. You take a look at the Ramban in Vayishlach, you can trust me, it's there. But the Machlok is around the Ramban. What's fascinating, however, is that there are many distinctions between the Bnei Noach and the Jewish people regarding these dinim. We don't have exactly the same set of rules, but I'm just saying this by way of introduction to the whole topic. And now I'll tell you something else I heard from the Rav Zatzal, the Rav meaning Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. That's our Rebbe, Uriel and mine, we have a common Rebbe. And so, Rabbi Soloveitchik once said over the following. He had a very fascinating dialogue with his cousin, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He was a cousin of the Rav. And the dialogue was essentially related to teaching young children. Young children, when they start learning Gemara, I don't know, what Gemara did you start learning when you began? Can I ask you, remember? It wasn't Brachas, I assume, what? There was a quip here from the audience that the first Gemara that they learned is B'fana Nitha. I don't think that's true. I imagine you started learning Gemara before. What grade was it?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade, Brachas, wow. You have some very wise rabbis. They obviously know what they're doing. So I cannot say I did that. What did you do? What did you mention?
Elamitzias.
Elamitzias. That is the classical approach. I assume over there in Boston, that's what they did also. To learn Elamitzias. And that's generally what some people learn. Hamafkid. But generally in the Baba Kama, Baba Tzir area, that's generally what people do in the Zikin. So the question is why? So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik had a dialogue about this. I've said this many times. And Rav Soloveitchik thought the reason is Pashut. But the sharpest svaras are found in the Zikin. You know what you mean by svara? What does a svara mean? The sharpest
logic.
Thank you. You tell you this is my Rebbe, move on. The sharpest logic is found actually in Elam Metzias, in Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Baba Basa. Unbelievable svaras. And the sharpest svaram have been written on these Masechtas. Such as, say, Sacheshen, Shev Shmaitza. You know those svaram? You're going to get to know the Nitz Hashem. Anyway, the most beautiful svaram imaginable, having the sharpest svaras in Ezekiel. Brachas is a different time of bonus. What's the deal with Brachas now?
Now?
Oh, sorry. What did you start with when you learned Brachas? What do you remember?
It was
Hamafkin.
No,
it's a different term. What? It's the very beginning. It's very relevant to people's lives. You have to know this Zman Kriyashma. Anyway, so that's what our salvation taught. That's what he told his cousin, Rabbi Feinstein. Rabbi Feinstein begged to disagree with him. He said, no. You know why we learn Mishpatim? Because Mishpatim deals with how I have to learn to be respectful of other people's property and be sensitive to their possessions and be sensitive to their person, I'm not supposed to injure you, chas v'sholom, hachayigul chaveros. You go ahead and, God forbid, give somebody a zetz. You know what a zetz is? You can get more or less the general sense of what it is. You essentially whack someone to pieces, a friendly tap, a love tap, and then you find the guy finds himself to be two broken legs and two broken arms. That's not exactly a friendly love tap. But anyway, that's usur, because obviously it's part of the zikin, part of the pasuk in chumash. Anyway, so that's the reason why we start with Eil Matias. That's what Rabbi Shapaitin told the Rav. So the Rav told him, you're right. That's the reason why. So Mishpatim is very critical. The entire Mishpatim is not an easy chumash, not an easy parsha. When I was in fifth grade, we started learning Eil Matias. And you know what they wanted us to do? Memorize Parsha Mishpatim. Why? So I memorized it. Took me a few months. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I know it by heart. And since then, I know it by heart. Parsha Mishpatim, from fifth grade. I memorized a few other things. You know what else they tell you to memorize? The Shira, you know what I'm talking about? We say it every day. That's not so difficult. What else do they have you memorize? Nothing.
No idea.
Anybody have memorized things when they went to? What? Asher Yatzah. I'll talk about Chumash. Okay. Say it again more. Anyway, so what I want to do today, tonight actually a little bit, is to discuss, you see the value of Mishpatim. I'm not sure you see it completely, but Mishpatim deals with Bein Adam V'Chaveiro, between man and man, how careful we have to be with other people's property, with other people's person, and not to, God forbid, injure anybody, and not to do anything that might harm someone. But even more important than that is the pasuk that's found over here in front of you in the page that I xerox for you. And I'm not going to discuss it at great length because I saw it discussed in Shiloh Avi, and I just went looking before to make sure that I won't repeat myself. But yeah, I want to just mention something else that is very critical. Take a look at the pasuk for a second. You won't lose anything even if you look at that same Shiloh Avi on this topic, because I think it has some very nice and very significant matters that I discussed over there. You see the pasuk here? Everyone has a piece of paper? I'm reading Chafal. Perach Avez, pasuk Chafal. You see that? I'll just show you the difficulties. I can't resolve them right now, but I'm just going to share with you the difficulties. Kol almana v'yasam lo sa'anun. What does the Torah say? Not to what? Not to in any way. What is the word? Le'anos inui. Not to what?
Torment.
Excellent. Beautiful. Wow. Wow. The word inui refers to torment, or to some would translate it as torture, but I won't go that far. Torment is a better word. Not to cause them to suffer. Kol almana v'yasam. Now, of course, when it says here, Almana V'Yasam, what, the Easter is only on Almana V'Yasam? But Avi, I can go ahead and torment? Because I'm not ready. So I would not torment him. Or any of you, to torment Chas V'Sholom. So that's the question, why the Torah says Almana V'Yasam? And the answer is Pashut, the Balabatish answer, because these are people who are, unfortunately, because of their situation, Almana is a woman who is a widow, and Yasam is, God forbid, an orphan. And they're obviously in a more helpless kind of situation, they're easy prey. And the Torah has to tell us, don't, because someone is easy prey, don't take advantage of that, and don't try not to, It's awesome. But the difficulty is that we're talking about individuals, almana and yasam. Why does he use Lashon Rabbin? Se'anun. But that's not the only problem. Next pasuk. Imani ta'ani also, if you go and torment him, the Torah has gone from Lashon Rabbin to Lashon Yochid. These are my favorite diukim. Anyone who knows me. Imani Tanya, so the Torah says, if you torment him, ki in so gitzak elai. Notice everything is doubled. Ani ta'ane. So gitzak, what's going to happen? He's going to cry out. Who's he crying out to? To Hashem, correct? Shema Ashma, again double. Ta'akoso. He's again going to hear. So the problem is the Torah has gone from Lashon Rabbim, lo ta'anun, to Lashon Yochin, Imani Tanya, so. And then look at the next pasuk. Bechor api, Hashem's gonna, his anger will be aroused. Barakti eschem bechorev. I'm gonna kill you, Lashon Rabbin. Is there not a problem over here? You have very scholarly glasses, so you would understand what I'm talking about. We begin with Lashon Rabbin, and then we get Lashon Yochid, and then again Lashon Rabbin. What in heaven's name is happening over here? You hear the problem? It is not my kasha. Anyone who learns psukim realizes this is a kasha. And the kasha is asked by the Ibn Ezra, by the Ramban, by many of the Rishonim who were very sensitive. When you read Psukim, you have to read it very carefully. I'm not going to discuss the answers today. If you're interested a little bit, I saw it discussed in that sefer called Shiloh Avi. Very nice sefer. And also the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, which the Shiloh Avi quotes. And there also is a lot more to say on this topic, which I can't discuss right now, but I'm just starting with this because, obviously, this is a very significant halacha about not being ma'ana, not tormenting people, not making their life difficult or miserable, and one has to be exceptionally careful regarding this matter. So now I'm just going to share with you, I think that the greatness of Gedolei Yisrael, one of the areas of greatness, besides the greatness in Talmud Torah, in the area of learning, but primarily the greatness really was probably in their unbelievable sensitivity to other human beings, including Maran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And I will perhaps give you one or two examples of that in a moment, but first I'll share with you a number of other examples that are very fascinating. There's a Gemara about Basra, and Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, I don't know if you remember Shmuel Aleph, I think it's right at the very beginning, Shmuel Aleph said that the Navi speaks about Chana. Remember Chana? She had no children. So who tormented her?
Penina
tormented her. And I'll read the Pasuk. V'chi asata tzorosa gamkas b'avur harima. So Chazal says she did it l'shem Shamayim. What do you mean l'shem Shamayim? You torment someone l'shem Shamayim? Wow. Why was it l'shem Shamayim? She wanted her to what? To daven. Excellent. She wanted her to daven and to come to even Shari Dima, to come to tears, because the Gemara says a few places in Shas, including Brachas, and including Bamatia, and a few other places, the Gemara says that even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Shari Tfila may have been closed, but Shari Dima alone in Alu, the person cries out to Hashem, in a heartfelt way, Hashem will respond to our tears. He responds to the tears of the person. So the question is, if that's the case, you know what happened to Penina? She was punished. Anyone know how she was punished?
Kids.
Correct.
Kid
which is a very, I'm sorry?
Wasn't that right? Kid that
that is a very severe punishment. So why, how can you explain that? She had him on the Shem Shamayim. Her intentions were noble. She wanted Chana to go and literally become so pained by the fact that she had no children, she would cry out to Hashem, and hopefully Hashem would answer her tefillos. So I hear it from Hagoyim of Chaim Shul Levitz, maybe they mentioned in the Chabura there, Rav Chaim Shul Levitz. Anyone know who he was? Who was he?
Shiva.
I was lucky to hear his shmuzin on a weekly basis. I went to him in 1971, 72, every single week. It was just astounding. They were in Yiddish, but still, I grew up in Yiddish, so I understand Yiddish. He had the following yisod to answer this question. He said, you see from here that if you torment someone, you are pogea benon lachabero. Very good, please, classic. There shouldn't be baltashkes here, that would be terrible. If you are pogea benon lachabero, if you cause someone harm, or if you cause someone tsar, so it's as if ki'ilu, a person is taking his hand and putting it into a fiery cauldron, so even though you're a kabbalah of the Shem Shamayim, you're going to be burnt. That is a klal, said Rav Chaim Shul Levitz. And therefore, he's quoted the following story, which is a Gemara Ksubis. I'm going to tell you over the story. I Xerox the Gemara. The Gemara tells over about the following very, very tragic event that occurred, but it has many elements to it. The Gemara tells about a great Talmud Chacham named Rav Ruchumi. And this Rav Ruchumi, apparently, his wife was ready to let him go and leave to learn Torah, and he left on an annual basis for an entire year, and the Tanai Raz will come back Erev Yom Kippur. Wow. I'm not getting into the details of this and discussing it. Just don't get to Gittin. Anyone here still learning about Sarah's Gittin?
Yeah.
So on the above of the base, there's a Rashi.
Sell the children.
What was that? Excellent. Correct. That's the Pasuk. The Gemara quotes, and that is not necessarily in agreement with the Mishnah Ksubas that you're probably familiar with, the Enikol. Anyway, so the Enikol of Rosh Hashiva. So anyway, so there's a Mishnah Ksubas that talks about that the guy can go and leave for 3 years to learn Torah. How do you reconcile these two? So that needs a separate shir. I hope to give a blee nether. Whatever the case is, here we have a person made an agreement with his wife. I'll come home once a year on Yom Kippur. And the whole year I can learn. So the Gemara goes on to say that she agreed. She was masking. Of course, without her askama, you're not allowed to do that. You can't chas v'shalom abandon your wife or leave your wife. But she agreed that she should learn Torah. And that's what happened. So then the Gemara tells us, I'm skipping part of the Gemara, that she was waiting for her husband to come back, and apparently he was delayed, and he wasn't able to come back before Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that the very onset of Yom Kippur, so she began to cry. And the Gemara said, the moment she began to cry, the Gemara says, Because why was he not coming back? He got involved in a sugya. He must be learning before Anechta. Anyway, so he got so involved in the sugya. I'm just being cute. So he got so involved in the sugya, the Gemara says, that apparently he didn't realize Yom Kippur was basically came out there, and he wasn't able to go home. And as a result, so he had to delay. He's coming home. And she was obviously waiting for him. The Gemara has a long discussion about this. And the Yom Kippur arrived. Her husband didn't come. She started crying. And then the Gemara tells the following story. He was actually going to shul, about to daven Yom Kippur, and was going up apparently on some high steps. And guess what? The step beneath him simply disappeared. And all of a sudden he fell in a very, apparently, deep kind of fall. And he died. So, of course, the question Rav Chaim Shalom is asked, what in tarnation's name was gained by this kind of action on the part of the Almighty? What did she gain by this? Here, her husband is no longer alive. Yiskadel v'yiskadesh, meravah. So what did she gain by the fact that as a result of her tears, her husband is killed by the Rebbe Shalom? She now is an almana. She's an almana who's essentially now in a terrible situation. So the answer is, Rav Chaim, yes, it's a terrible tragedy. She's an almana. But the moment a person is hurt and a person begins to cry, it's like the other person put their hand into the fire or their body into the fire. And unfortunately, there are consequences. And the consequences here were that her husband died. Wow. So this is what I heard from Rav Chaim Shulevitz. Nepogeya, if you, God forbid, hurt someone else, and the halacha is that you can, God forbid, be some of the consequences. And now, since I will tell you another story, and this story I actually heard from, there was a magid in my days, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, the Chatzag de Bracha. So he used to come to Itri. I learned a yeshiva called Itri here in Yerushalayim, and he came to Itri quite often. He was a little guy. I'm talking about a little guy. I don't think there's anyone yeshiva his height. I would say it was about 4 feet high. I don't want to use the term, which I say it very respectfully. It was like a little midget. But he was a very, very powerful little midget. And when he would speak in the yeshiva, they had to bring a benkala in order for him to step on the benkala, a footstool of sorts. And he got up, and he was, wow, that little fella, powerful beyond powerful. He told over the following story, and I actually have it in my notes. And then I found it later on in one of the many Svarim that came out with stories from Rabbi Yankov Galinsky. He was an unbelievable person. I was very, very nispal from him. And besides being a massive Talmud Chacham, I was not equipped to measure what kind of a Talmud Chacham he was. I'm a very simple fella. But whatever the case is, he used to tell these unbelievable stories. So here's a story he told over. And he first quoted from Chazal. If you know, the Egyptians, actually, they tormented us in Mitzrayim, and Hashem indicated in order to Avraham Avinu, v'gam sagoy asher avot don anochi, Hashem said, I'm going to judge them too. Don't worry, no one escapes punishment if they go ahead and treat someone or maltreat someone or do something that's inappropriate. They're going to be punished. It may happen right away. And so he told over the following story from the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim, Zechitzag Debracha, lived in the city of Radin. Radin, I don't know if you've ever been there. Anyone, you people went to Poland yet or not yet? Some of you are going, Yitz Hashem, with Rabbi Olshin Shlita, or I imagine something along those lines, but maybe some of you went to Radin. I went many, many years ago to Radin, but I have to ask Rabbi Roblowski. He went, at that time, I went with him on a trip to the Shiva, maybe 13 years ago, and we decided to go to Belarus, which is a third world country. I assume you're familiar with that. And matter of fact, what happened over there was very fascinating. They wouldn't let us in. What a bunch of blankety blanks. And so we had to, as they say, schmear them with some green tamales. Okay, so we got it. Then, on the way out, they started examining the passports of some of the guys in the yeshiva. Money. Then they started examining some of the passports of some of the guys in the yeshiva, and two guys, they said, we won't let you out. So I'll tell you the truth. One of them, I said, how about you should stay there? That would be good for Kol Yisrael. I'm half joking. The other one, I said, wow, he's a good boy. Why would we can't let him there? Anyway, at the end, it cost us several hundred smackers, and they came out, and us, no problem at all. as they say, Tishmir is Tefir. That's the way it works. Tishmir, and everything is fine and dandy. Hakesef Yaneh Takol, the Pasuk says. And I read the Pasuk differently. Hakesef Yaneh Takol. These are Valkyrie, a beautiful Valkyrie. And so it means that with money you can turn the world upside down. Anyway, so the Chafetz Chaim in Radin. So that's, I went to Radin, I wanted to be the Chafetz Chaim Kever. I also went to Poland because I wanted to be by Chaim Briskis Kever and the next in the Tziv. And then I also, at that time, also went to the Kever of the Grom. I think there's a lot of stories about that. Rabbi Robowski can confirm all these stories. That they, there were some people in Yeshiva who didn't like the Yeshiva so much. And so they, we went at night, and then I had to get over the fence, and then they decided maybe they should leave me there. I guess that was a meter, should have made it the night. Anyway, whatever the case is, I won't get into all the details. So, Chafetz Chaim in Radin, there was an almana who was not able to pay for rent. She rented a place, and she wasn't able to pay the rent, and it was in winter time. So she told the Baal HaBayis, listen, I don't have the money. Don't throw me out to the street. I simply, right now, I can't afford it. It's very difficult. Wait till the spring, and maybe I'll be able to put some money together, and somehow I'll be able to handle it. And he said, no, I have no rachmanis, and it was also freezing, it was cold, Poland gets quite cold in the winter, I don't know if you're aware, maybe you are aware. Anyway, so, and she literally was in a very bad situation, and he decided, no, I have no rachmanis on this almana. This is a story quoted by Rav Yaakov Galinsky from the Chafetz Chaim, and he basically took all the possessions, threw her out to the street, and of course it was freezing, it was cold, it was snow. It was absolutely something totally inhumane that one should behave in such a fashion. And not only that, he decided that I'm going to do whatever I can to make her life miserable. So she's busy crying in the street, and it's a terrible situation. And at that time, it was really a fierce winter. And many people were very angry at this wealthy person. Why did he behave in such a fashion? It seems to be completely without any foundation. But, you know, sometimes people have their own tzaras, and they forget about this one's tzaras. The Gemara always says, that tzaras achreinus mishachlas tzarishenus. That the tzaras that come to this one and that one, so we forget about the early tzaras. And she was in a... So the Chafetz Chaim said, when he heard about the story, he said, I never forgot. I never forgot what happened to this woman and how she was treated. Of course, he had to quickly pick up the pieces and make sure that she was taken care of, which he did. And he said, the Chafetz Chaim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Avi Yisraelim V'dayin Almanos. We said in the davening. I don't know if you say Matzoi Shabbos. You say V'yitan L'chol. Everybody say V'yitan L'chol in here? Okay, it's enough. You have married, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so Hashem is, which shul? Your shul says it?
Yeah, and I always have, like, whenever I was like, what are they saying? Like, why is it taking 5 minutes before like,
Your rabbi of Yeshua must be
when I came there, off the deep end. That's when I realized that there's actually what to say.
There are people who say, V'itelecha, I introduced it in my former shul, and shall we say it was not very popular?
It's only in Chutzar, right?
It's like the Dinner Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Many shuls don't say it, not in Chutzar. Very few shuls say it in Chutzar. Very few. People have to get to the movies. What, are you crazy? We have no time for this. We eat telecha. Anyway, so the kids are... Anyway, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is Avi Yisomim Dayin Almanos. And so the Chafetz Chaim said, I have no doubt in my mind that Osher was going to be punished. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. And so the Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yaakov Galinsky reports, he waited a year, 5 years, 10 years. I don't recall how many years later. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Chafetz Chaim lived, Avi Chisyon B'Shonim, he lived until his 90s. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, 67 years later, this wealthy person was bitten by a rabid dog, developed rabies, incredible yisurim, and died as a result of the yisurim. So the Chafetz Chaim said everyone had rachmanis on this guy. But I knew that even though there was a hiatus of 67 years, his death was due to the way he maltreated that woman. Only the Chafetz Chaim could say something like that. I could not, but this is what Rav Galinsky reported. So that's unbelievable. The Chafetz Chaim, 60 years later, could connect the dots of a person who is tormenting a woman who's an almana. And Chazal, that Chazal understand, and there are many, many statements in Chazal about this kind of sensitivity that a person has to have to another human being, especially each one of us. One of the pluses of being in yeshiva, according to my humble opinion, is that you have a chance to do unbelievable chesed. How? Many, many different ways. you have roommates, hopefully you do chesed with your roommates, you look like the type that's, you're into it. But even, for example, if you have a chance to learn with someone like me, who needs help, so you'll be able to help me and learn with me, b'chavrusa. And maybe because of the result of two people learning together, that's the whole idea. The Gemara says, in tightness, lo chavrusa, misusa. Either, this is not what Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. Maybe you never heard of Patrick Henry. You know something called American history? American history, Jewish history, European history, world history. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. There's a country called America. They have a history.
Yeah, I'm holding Patrick Henry.
Excellent. We're holding in the Rashi and Gittin. That's great. Ashrecha. Hashem shall bless you.
Amen.
Just you, all of you, as I always say. Anyway, I did study American history. What can I do? There was even Lumbus in American history that we studied. There's a guy called Richard Hofstadter. He spent many hours with this guy. I know you're familiar with that. You got my knowledge. You got an education over there. You're unusual. You're extraordinary. What?
A little bit.
A little bit. He's just being modest. He's a big honor. Anyway, so the... besides being a great Valkyrie, he's also none of. He has many other mitzvahs, many other beautiful qualities. I fell in love with this fellow. Do you know when? I told him. Do they remember? For real, referring to you. When did that happen? Besides his prowess as a Valkyrie, he came to the Gemara in Seita. That's what he was referring to. The Gemara in the last stop in Seita. Eino Elu Miskayim. And on the Uvolatiyam. There twice in the volunteer people have a minute to do what? Have back and forth. Shiat Sibur says, what did he say? Kadosh, 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 and then Baruch Hashem Kavo. And then I heard, and that's been 4 months ago, I don't know when it was. Me'asar be'shinte. Everyone ever heard that? And then he said, Allah, me'asar be'shinte. I said, I sniffed Rabbi Soloveitchik. I said, the guy, where else could it come from? Sure enough, right away I went over to him, Rabbi Soloveitchik. And I wanted to hug the guy. I also do that. What was that? A sense of humor too. From Maimonides with a sense of humor. Wow. That is something. That itself is something. It's almost like a steer of an airbag. No, anyway, so I say this again because that the whole Parsha Mishpatim is to teach us how to behave in Adma Chaber. Sensitivity. So chavrusas, not only chavrusas, roommates, but learning with someone, helping someone who's in need, and that's really what mishpatim is all about. The whole parsha mishpatim is based on sensitivity and someone else's sensibility. That's the parsha we began with, called Manav Yosem Lo Sa'anun, and that's also kimat the entire parsha, and I could show it to you kimat in every single mitzvah. And the truth is, if you want to learn the parsha well, and you want to know it well, this is the parsha to learn, namely Mishpatim, which has in it Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Ksubis, Kedushin, Gittin. You have 7-8 Mesechtes in this parsha. Unbelievable parsha. And it's not an easy parsha. Obviously, it's a very difficult parsha. It's a long one, correct? And it requires enormous attention, learning Rashi carefully. Beautiful Rashi. Even I told you, if you learn Tol Sheni, you'll accomplish a tremendous amount. Just the beginning of Mishpatim. Evidivri, you ever learned Kiddushin from Daf Yudal all the way to Hotes? My nephew just made a siyum the other day on Masechet Kiddushin. He spent 3 years learning Kiddushin. And he spent a lot of time learning. He's a working person. He works for a living here. My brother's a Rebbe Bracha, his son, his oldest son. And he learned it very, very well. Very well. Really, very plugged away at it. And that's what has to be done with Mishpatim. Anyway, my point is, sensitivity to other people's sensibility. And you can do it in yeshiva. And I saw in my lifetime a lot of chesed. When I was in yeshiva in Itri, tremendous chesed that guys did for each other. And you know, I assume you're aware, this year in Eretz Yisrael, you'll discover, you'll make friends. I assume you've made a few.
Trying.
Wow. Is that bad over here? These guys are great guys. We have the most normal yeshiva in the world.
Best.
That's right. We have some very cool chaps. We have that too. But we also have a few, how should we call them? Let's be polite. Other types. People like me. Out to lunch. That's right. We have a few of those too. Those are the guys I connect with. But I'm sure you connect with the whole Chevra. And you'll discover, I have chaver, and you should know that I say this because recently I met two chaver of mine that I've known with an itchery in yeshiva. I was in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, 46 years ago. I have not seen one of them in 46 years. And when I saw him and he saw me, we just, that's what happened. It was like we were reunited once again. And now we're united. He says to me, do you remember the kasha? He said, 46 years later. We learned together. We learned several masechtas together. He was my chavrusa. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He was in America. America. That's where he was. Anyway, so, and I live in Eretz Yisrael. I haven't seen him in years. He's also in the West Coast. He doesn't even live. I've had contact with him a little bit. Telephone, this, that, what have you. But I saw him. He came to Eretz Yisrael. And we reunited. And we reminded ourselves of each masechta that we learned together. He said, I was shikotera. I said, shikotera. He said, shikotera. I said, shikotera. And you know what? He is a doctor, a heart surgeon. But he learns more than I do. You know, I spend my days doing yeshiva. You don't even come over to me. I don't know why. You take it a dislike to me. But anyway, you know, honestly, come over. There are a lot of people. Some of these guys come over to me in the morning. You can come over too. I'm a great schmoozer. So at least that. Seriously. Do you mind my saying this? I hope I don't mean to pass a show. I apologize if I hear I'm talking about sensitivity. Anyway, that's what the whole parsha is about. That's what we have to learn from this parsha. From the beginning to end. How to be sensitive, not to be mitzvah people on the country. There's one great mitzvah, and that's what I actually Xeroxed here. I'm not going to make you crazy. And the mitzvah is, according to my humble opinion, the most important mitzvah that really everyone should be mekayim. And I'll read the lashon to you that I saw, and I'll just mention this comes from the Vilna Gaon. I love the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in the letter he writes to his mother, the letter ends, Ubezeh rov ha-Torah. What is the bulk of the Torah? Ain't it called? L'shameach l'odom. You know what rov ha-Torah is? To cause everyone else to be what?
Happy.
Wow. Some have a different nusach. Ubezeh chayv ha-Torah. L'shameach l'odom. There are two nuschos I saw in the Iger Sagra. I read the Iger Sagra once a week. I read two igros once a week. The Iger Ramban, my father Shabbos to read him on Shabbos. And the Iger Sagra. I love the Iger Sagra. So you see from the Gra, what is the Iker Gola Batara? L'sameach ha-sabrios. To make people happy. And to cause them to feel good about themselves. And obviously, Kamal Chomer, Shalom L'tzarom U'lanosam. Not to cause them, God forbid, Tzar or Inoy. So if I cause anybody here Inoy and Tzar, which I probably do on an ongoing basis, I try not to. I hope you'll forgive me. I hope I apologize to you. But I really want to be Sameach. That's the truth. And I have Simcha when people come over to me. Honestly. And you can hock me up, as they say over here, ask me kashas, whether it's in Chumash, and even if you discuss with me before the Yechva Erechta, I have to enjoy immensely, and you can discuss that with me too, or anything you like for that matter. I want to connect with the guys in Yeshiva. We have great guys in Yeshiva. Normal, chilled out, cool cats, the best. A lot of other Yeshivas have different other types. I won't get into it. I don't have time for psychoanalysis now. I have to get to a Chumash. Anyway, Halavai Hashem should give us the ability to misameach each other and to create a tremendous avira, simcha, yeshiva, and B'ez Hashem, all of us will undoubtedly grow as a result of it.